السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم, and welcome to the series Jinn and Jadu. So in our previous discussion, we spoke about the enmity of the shayateen, the rebellious jinnah, towards man, starting from Iblis's enmity towards Adam alayhi salam, because he always wanted Adam alayhi salam's position, and he made it his life's mission to deviate the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah warns us, he's your enemy, treat him as such. Right, then beyond that, we spoke about first prize being the devil trying to corrupt your belief, take you towards kufr and shirk. If he fails, takes you towards innovation, because when you do something wrong thinking it's right, the chances of repentance are slim. Then he tries to take you away from good and get you involved in evil. Don't perform salah, get involved in intoxicants. And if that fails and you're doing good, then he tries to corrupt your intention or tries to distract you. But he will never leave you. Till your last breath, his efforts are ongoing. And therefore, you've got to constantly be on your guard. Now we come to a very important discussion. We have previously mentioned, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, that every human has a jinn, a shaitan, a rebellious jinn that tries to prompt him towards evil, tries to trouble him, tries to harm him. Then you've got the angels that are there to protect you, right? And that's the test of life. The question kind of came up briefly. Can the jinn enter a human body? Some say no. Majority say yes. They say Allah has given them a body which is very subtle. So they can enter your body and exit. You know, like how air enters your body and exits. And that's how they do the waswasa, which Allah speaks about in Surah An-Nas. Min sharril waswasil khannas, where we seek protection in Allah from these devils. They come and whisper. So, you know, the bad thoughts that you have, bad inclinations, troubling thoughts, that's the waswasa. Some would say they do it from outside. Some would say they get into your body and do it, whichever way they do it, but they do it because the Quran tells us that they do it. The rebellious jinnat will harm you because they are mischievous by nature, right? Then sometimes there are good jinnat who may harm you because they think that you've done something wrong to them. You may not realize because you can't see the jinnat. Maybe you did something which offended them, so that they harm you in retaliation. But the rebellious jinnat, the shayateen, they will harm you even if you did nothing to them, because that's in their nature. So some of them occupy houses, right, just to harm you. And we've discussed previously that when you read your dua upon entering, upon exiting, before meals, after meals, that is a protection. Some jinnat occupy houses not because they are from the rebellious jinnat, but because they fall in love with a human and they just don't want to leave. Then you need specialized treatment to get them removed. So at times, the good jinnat can harm you because they fall into misunderstanding. But most of the time, it's the rebellious jinnat. And there are various examples. They can come in your dreams. Constantly, they try and disturb you by showing you scary things and showing you frightful things in your dream. Troublesome dreams. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there are three types of dreams which a man sees in his sleep. One is a dream from Allah. The other is sorrow from shaitan. And the third is just, you know, whatever you were thinking about or talking to yourself about, it kind of comes up in your dream. And if you have a scary dream, don't share it with anyone. Wake up, read the ta'awudh, make like you spitting towards the left and go back to sleep. Also, when you sleep, right, shaitan ties three knots on the neck of one of you who sleeps. This is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us, narration of Bukhari. He ties each knot on you in the long night and then you go to sleep. If you wake up and remember Allah, one knot is undone. If you do wudu, another knot is undone. If you perform your salah, another knot is undone. Then you'll be active and cheerful the whole day. But if you don't wake up for fajr, you don't make wudu, you don't perform salah, whole day you'll be lazy and grouchy. These are not physical knots that we can see, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us it happens. So it's obvious, what's the antidote? Read your Quran, make your dhikr, read your salah, make your wudu. In one hadith, it is mentioned that the one who has not recited Ayatul Kursi or the end of Surah Baqarah or any part of the Quran which will protect him from the shaitans, this will happen to him, these knots. But if you read Ayatul Kursi, read the concluding verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, Amana Rasul downwards, read Quran, some portion of the Quran, it's a protection. So the shaitan has a touch on the son of Adam. That's what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us. And the angel also has a touch. The touch of shaitan threatens evil, rejection. The touch of the angel promises good. When you experience the touch of the shaitan, then seek protection from Allah. Ash-shaytanu ya'idukumul faqra wa ya'murukum bil fahsha, like we discussed previously. And when you get a good thought which comes from the angels, then thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So shaitan is there. is there, is part of life, and we've got to deal with him. When a child is born, shaitan is there. He pokes the child from the time you're born. That's why the child cries. But then we give the adhan and iqama in the child's ears. When you intimate with your spouse, like we discussed previously, you read the dua, then the shaitan is repelled. So shaitan is present in all human affairs. According to a hadith in Muslim and Tirmidhi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, shaitan is present in all that you do. He is even present when you eat. When you drop a morsel, he takes it. Therefore, one should clean off and eat it and not leave it for shaitan. When you finish, you should lick your fingers. No one knows in which part of the food there is barakah. So, you should not become despondent. You should be on your guard, but don't become despondent, because you've got the angels protecting you, and you've got many prescriptions which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given, which we'll elaborate on further in the next discussion, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.